Hattie. Excuse me a little. I think I have the tadpole and the frog this morning, so whatever's in there. Missed you folks, I tell you. When you go away for a Sunday, and what a joy we have here at Mount Calvary, because I know God has sent us such great, great people. I can leave with great confidence that people are going to come in and worship the Lord. Great confidence in our musicians, the leadership here with Matt bringing the word. But trust me, folks, I miss you. Miss you when I'm gone. And I believe next Sunday Matt is scheduled to preach down at the campgrounds. We're going to go down early. The folks, we're going to go down and sing a little bit at 9 o'clock, but we'll be back here for the 11 o'clock service, and that'll finish up their services for the year. Kevin and Becky are so appreciative about the folks and the dedication of God's people to come and to worship together. Last Sunday, Terry Lee and Jennifer came down, and they walked in because I knew that Kevin and Becky had a very difficult week. Their little godchild they'd said goodbye to. They had the memorial service on that Friday, and I knew Kevin at the concert on Friday night when we had the Wisnitz here. And I knew Kevin was quite troubled. And so on that Sunday morning, I said, Terry Lee, come on down. We'll surprise him a little bit. So Terry Lee and Jennifer walked in. The thing that you always hear from the campgrounds whenever I go down there is the one phrase, is Terry Lee here? Yes, he's here. That's what I hear. I said, yes, Terry Lee's here. It just so happened that their piano player was in the hospital, had just gone in the hospital the night before. They had no piano player, Terry Lee. And it's amazing how God will work out the pieces in your life. We worship God together, and I am so thankful to have a place to come back to. A home church here at Mount Calvary. I'm going to read for you in the book of St. James. Excuse me. It's in the first chapter, and it's a subject that I just want to share for a couple minutes this morning, talking about trials, talking about tribulation, talking about the phrase that you would say now was that you'd be stuck between a rock and hard place. The book of St. James, the first chapter, just reading the second verse here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Then I'm jumping all the way down to the 16th verse. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every perfect gift is from above. Boy, I like that. Every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. And also with that, I'm going to tie in, as they said it over in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, in the 81st Psalm and the 16th verse, and with honey. And with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word, and open our minds and hearts for just a few minutes here that we may receive that truth. God, we ask this in your precious name, and all God's people, amen. 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 Honey from the rock. In this book of James, excuse me, it talks about times of trial. It talks about times of temptation, the hard places. And then I jumped all the way back into the Old Testament there, those writers of those great Psalms, and saying that you will receive honey from a rock. Now, this morning, for just a moment, I'm going to tell you about the most impressive rock that I have ever seen. The most impressive rock that I have ever seen is located in a place called Piney River, Virginia. Some of you have been there. I love it when I get to preach to the family because they need it the most, I tell them. Not an amen one out of this brunch over here. Did you hear? Not an amen one. I got on Sunday afternoon the opportunity to go up and have lunch with Mom, and she immediately showed me an article out of the newspaper. In that paper, in that area, she gets a paper called the Nelson Recorder. It comes from Nelson County, Virginia. And in it were wonderful articles remembering Hurricane Camille from 1969. In my life, I remember back 50 years ago when we talked about it over the summertime, about that landing on the moon. What a great event it was. But then for me, one of the turning points, one of the great events in my life was the Hurricane Camille storm that hit in the southwestern part of the state of Virginia. It was a hurricane that had come in Mississippi. It was a Category 5 hurricane. Some devastation, some loss of life. But then this storm did something that no other storm had ever done as it started up through the land there, through the middle part of the country. It was caught up in the jet stream and was forced towards the Appalachian Mountains, the Category 5 hurricane. That evening, on the night of August the 19th, as people went to bed that night, it just started to rain a little bit. And the forecast was for light rain. It is estimated in some places that night over the next 8 hours that there would be 35 inches of rain. 35 inches of rain in an 8-hour period. The devastation was so severe that on the Wednesday morning when people, thank God, the ones that survived had woke up and they looked out and they just could not believe. There were areas of small streams that had taken and turned into complete rivers. Over 125 people were simply washed away that night. That was 1% of the population of that county. The damage was so severe that it was hard actually to get the news out because everything was just blocked off. You couldn't get in. You couldn't get out. Here, we were living in the Franconia area. Excuse me. My father was working at Virginia Roofing, and as the phone calls started to come in and we saw different things on the television, different news reports, bits and pieces were coming in. And the concern was because my dear Aunt Kathleen lived in that area, along with Granny Wood, along with so many dear friends, dear loved ones, dear family members that lived in that area. Mom, later in that week, made a call over Virginia Roof, and she never called Pop at work. Never did. So they knew when this call came in that better take it. Never forget the gentleman over Virginia Roof and said, "Mrs. Wood, don't worry, we'll get him for you." Early that Saturday morning, we loaded into the station wagon and headed to the destination. At that time, you couldn't get there from here. So we had to go down through Lexington. We had to come back over the mountain in Buena Vista. When we got to Buena Vista, we could see all the devastation from the flooding. There they have the mills and all that cloth had just simply had washed out of those mills and in the creek, and it was just devastating. As it got nearer and nearer, we didn't think we were going to make it, but as we came right to the town of Woodston up there, I believe it was Henry Thomas was up there. He recognized Pop, and he's at that time they blocked it off. They were not letting anyone in. And Henry Thomas talked to my father and says, "Charlie, I know that you're going to check on your mother, so you go on through." And thanks be to God that we got there, that Granny was safe and Aunt Kat that had stayed there was safe. My Uncle James had actually been and helped rescue two ladies that had floated down the creek next to them in the house. The house had floated down. Later on, as we headed up Piney River, on the side of the road, there was a rock. Actually, I'd call it a boulder. And the story was told to me that, and in clearing the roads going up, that they had two bulldozers that had got behind this boulder just to move it off the side of the road into the creek. And the two bulldozers couldn't budge it. That's how big and heavy it was. But just remember that it's estimated that it had rolled over 3/4 of a mile down through that holler, we called them back then. It had washed down the holler and taken all the barns and anything in its path out. That's how strong and devastating the water was. That, my friends, is a rock. It's still there today. Excuse me. I know that you face certain rocks in your life. And whenever I read this verse and it talks about how you get honey out of a rock, to me, I would just scratch my head. Because a rock is one of the hardest things in nature. And honey, and I'm talking about the bee type, I'm not talking about what Terry Lee calls Jennifer and what Bob will be on his best behavior before Hattie leaves. Hurry back, honey. That's not what I'm talking about. The honey, and I love it when it's in the comb. You get yours where? Not out of a rock, but you get it out of a jar. And it is one of the sweetest things that I believe nature has ever created. So how do you get this sweetness, this honey, out of a rock? I believe, and the older I get, the more I stand on the truth, and trust me, I'm a hard guy to convince, but I believe that God knows what He's saying. And although at times it feels like that we're going up against great rocks and great difficulties in our life, that God has that ability to draw the honey out of it. Sometimes it's difficult. But if you think back in Bible days, oh, Joseph, for 13 years he was up against the rock. His brothers hated him. They sold him off as a slave. He ended up in prison. But later he would become the second ruler of Egypt. King David, the anointed one. King Saul hated him so much he tried to hunt him down and kill him. And his life was spent in caves, in the rocks. But later on, he would be crowned the king of Israel. Later on, he'd be one that was called a man who had a heart for God, King David. lot of times you'll have people around you telling you how bad things are. And that just thrills me sometimes, how I have people around me that will tell me how bad things are for me. They have no problem giving me their opinion. Amen? Amen. You've been there, you've heard it. But I'm here to tell you today that I serve a God that says, do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow turning. It is all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's difficult to go through the rocky times, but only by going through those rocky times do we realize how much God loves us, how much God is in the building, in the business of taking away that sorrow, taking away that strife. I know when I heard it one time, and I love that phrase. It says, you know, when you're in the midst of it, you're going to be sighing, but God's going to change that sighing to singing. This morning I heard some great singing. This morning, and I am so appreciative of what talent that God has sent us, but most importantly, what heart He has sent us. Many times in these psalms that you read, they begin with tears, with the trouble. But then, as the writer goes on, he usually, in these psalms, he goes from tears to trust. Once you kind of get your eyes off your own situation and problem and start focusing on God, it brings forth what I call the triumph. From tears to trust to triumph. Now, think of it, folks. Had there been no Katrina, Terry Lee and Jennifer would have never made that trip, leaving his hair gel behind. It's not a good look, brother. It's not a good look. Would have never made that trip. And I am here to tell you that there has been many a heart that has been touched by the testimony of these two. Bless you. I know that on concert night, when Terry Lee jumps up there and just starts making me so anxious about the next time we're going to have to tune this piano, that I'm here to tell you, people's hearts are touched. Why? Because there was a rocky time. There was a time when everything that they owned had to fit in the station wagon to leave. Folks, you've had those times. You've been through situations. You've suffered losses. But I serve a God. I serve a God that no matter what comes my way, He is still on the throne and He still wants the best for me. Why didn't He move those rocks beforehand? I don't know. I wish He would. We have conversations about it. And I guess it's for me to learn that thing called patience. Patience. I get disappointed because I want to microwave God, and He seems to be at times a slow cooker God. But I guess that's what I need. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we gather in Your house today, and Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of summertime here, as we get ready for September, for all the changes, for the You've given us just this little taste of what fall weather would feel like today, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all the people that took part in the service today. We thank you for each one of those prayer requests and for the praises that we heard from you. So God, as you send us on our way, allow us to keep our faith strong and allow us to grow in patience as we live through these trials, these temptations. And let us know that you still love us. You still care for us. You loved us so much that you sent your Son to die upon a cross. And we thank you for that, God. So as we leave, give us safe traveling mercies and let us take this wonderful love that we felt in your house today, wherever we go. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen. I hope I haven't forgotten anything. Stand to your feet, sing along with me.